Now we are going to cover what must be present in order for you to use deadly force on the streets. This is different from in your own home, which we will cover later. In my opinion, this slide is the most important thing that we're going to cover in this entire presentation. I would highly recommend that you spend some time on this slide or view it more than once. Number one, you or another must be in immediate fear of great bodily harm or death. Let's start with you or another. You can step into the shoes of somebody else. However, you must be correct that the other person is in immediate fear of great bodily harm or death. Soon after the permit to carry law passed, there was an incident in the Twin Cities where somebody's car broke. It went out of control and hit a tree. Someone that was there had a permit to carry and assumed the driver was drunk. The permit holder pulled out his gun and held the driver of the vehicle at gunpoint until the police arrived. As you can imagine, the permit holder was in a lot of trouble. If you point a firearm at somebody that you are not allowed to, kiss your freedoms goodbye. A great example of somebody that did get involved in the right way was at the St. Cloud Mall. A bad guy pulled out a knife and started stabbing everybody he could. Luckily, there was an off-duty police officer there to stop him with the firearm. It is always going to be a lot easier to determine what's happening if it's happening to you, your family, or a friend. Sometimes what you're seeing is not actually what you're seeing. If you guess wrong, you go away for a long time. This is where more training comes in. The more courses you take on self-defense, the more likely you will make the right decision under stress. So you or another must be in immediate fear of great bodily harm or death. Let's talk about immediate. It must be happening right now. A good way that I can explain immediate is like this. Some people use the terminology shoot to wound versus shoot to kill. I would completely remove both of those from your vocabulary. If you are using a firearm in self-defense, you should be shooting to stop the threat. Once there is no more threat, then you stop shooting. There is nowhere you can shoot somebody that guarantees they won't die. Let's pretend somebody shoots to wound by shooting somebody in their leg. What runs up and down your leg? A major artery. If it's severed, there's a chance that person could die. That is why there is no shoot to wound.
Now, immediate means it's happening right now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. You can't run home and get a weapon and come back. It's happening now. You're confronted with this life and death situation. Fear has to be rational and reasonable. I have this irrational fear of clowns. If I walk out into a parking lot somewhere and I see a clown approaching, I just can't shoot it. That'd be an irrational thing to do just because it's a grown man in makeup. I don't understand why grown men or grown women would do this anyways, but they do. But I can't shoot them, even though I feel like I should. Now, the irrational part, that's the irrational part of fear, and you can't use your firearm or any kind of weapon when you have an irrational fear. If the fear is rational, for example, that clown is like Pennywise in Stephen King's It movie or novel, and he's coming at you or me with a butcher knife, well, then that's a rational, reasonable fear of great bodily harm or death, and you can then use lethal force. Great bodily harm being defined as any wound that causes permanent disfigurement or a temporary or permanent loss of a member or organ. So that is the criteria. That's the golden rule. If that's not present, you've got to use less than lethal force in order to solve your problems. On the street in most states, you've got a duty to retreat if you can do so safely without jeopardizing your safety or others. So in Minnesota, we have a duty to retreat if we can do so safely. If we can't do it safely, it mitigates our need to retreat. But simply putting your hands up and saying, hey buddy, I'm not going to fight you, and taking a few steps back, that's retreat. Now, if that other person pursues you, they're the aggressor, and you become that innocent victim. You have to be an innocent victim. You can't be a participant. If you were to shove me, I shoved you. You swung at me, I swung at you. Neither one of us are considered innocent victims. It's called mutual combat at that point.
Your firearm is a tool of last resort. No lesser force can do. And this is something that I get a lot of disconnect from the classrooms on. Most of the time. Most people don't have a background in violence or martial arts or combatives or force-on-force training. So most people in a violent situation tend to lean towards grabbing their gun when they're scared. And that could be a big problem. If the force that you're about to give is not warranted, you cannot draw your gun. So just because you don't know how to fight, that's not an excuse to go out and shoot somebody. Think of your firearm as the nuclear button, the last possible force you can use. It's very easy to put a gun on your side and to say, I have a plan to defend myself if I have to. It's very difficult to put a gun on your side and say, now what is my plan to never have to use it? You got to figure that most violence that we encounter in the civilian world is non-lethal. So we need to be able to meet those threats as well. Do you carry pepper spray? Do you have any martial arts training? Do you have any non-lethal tools that can help you win? Even a good flashlight can be a good tool to keep distance, to keep situational awareness in dark areas.
Firearm is a tool of last resort. It's not the first thing that you go to. Excuse me. Massive Abe wrote a book called In the Gravest Extreme, and that's what we're talking about. In the gravest extreme, when your life or another person's life is being threatened with great bodily harm or death, that's when you can use a weapon. Firearms not to be used in settling disputes. So you're having an argument with somebody and you just pull out your gun. Well, don't do that, because if they're crazier than you and they go for the gun, or even if you just show it, say, hey buddy, you want some of this, and you lift up your coat or your jacket or your shirt and display the gun, they may be crazier than you and they go for your gun. Now you're going to have to shoot them, because it's a life and death situation if they get a hold of that firearm. Whereas if you would have just kept it covered up, said, hey buddy, I'm not going to argue with you, I'm leaving, I'm walking away, that's it. Try to cut off that type of dispute when you see it escalating where there's not going to be a winner on either side. Your assailant has to have opportunity and means to carry out that threat of great bodily harm or death. Opportunity tends to be distance. On the street, your first tactical advantage is keep potential threats at more than arm's length away from you, as far away as possible. Distance is your tactical advantage. It's your friend on the street. Now, we used to think 21 feet was a good rule of thumb, at least police officers used to, that you could get to your gun, draw it, and take a couple shots in that amount of time before somebody closed that distance. Well, that's not true. Deputy Tuller, I believe it was with the Oklahoma State Police at the time, proved that any ambulatory person can close that 21 feet in about 1.5 seconds. So anybody who's ambulatory can close in half a second, 7 feet. So how many people can draw their gun and take a couple shots on target within 1.5 seconds? Very few can, unless you practice at drawing from concealment and shooting accurately. So it's very difficult to do. Police officers are now training to do exactly that. They need to shoot under 2 seconds, and that's a very good skill to have. In our advanced handgunning course, we teach in 4 hours somebody how to draw from the holster safely, get on target, take 2 shots and 2 more shots on another target about 6 feet away from the first. So if you can do that in under 2.5 seconds, you're doing really good. And that's what our goal is in our advanced classes. So opportunity tends to be distance. Keep your potential threats as far back as possible. Means does not imply that your assailant has a weapon. Your assailant could be unarmed, and we'll explore that next.